to obey God in whatever He asks us to do. Whatever He asks us to do. All right, we're going to look at the call of Matthew this evening. I've entitled it Christ's Mission. Kind of interesting here in a couple, whenever the Lord gives it, I'm going to have another message that is going to be called Christ's Mission, going to be completely different, but that's really what it is. And so try to begin to capture what Christ's mission is. Go to Matthew chapter 9 is the first. I don't have my chronological Bible up here with me this evening, and so it's going to be a little bit more difficult for me. I actually forgot that Bible at home, so I have all the passages here. It's going to take me a little bit longer to flip back and forth. Matthew chapter 9, if you would. Let's go to Matthew chapter 9, and we're going to go ahead and read Matthew's perspective, Mark's perspective, and Luke's perspective. So Matthew chapter 9, Jesus and a few disciples are still in the area, of Galilee. Okay, you can picture that on your maps that you have ingrained right into your brains, right? You're getting those. Hopefully you are. I really want you to get those. And so it's just we haven't looked at the map recently. Jesus is, of course, I've been doing some other things, but Jesus is staying right in Galilee. He's going to leave. He's going to go to a few more places within Galilee and some others here. But we look at this Galilean ministry that Jesus takes a few of his disciples on. And so we're going to be looking at an area that's a little bit north of the Sea of Galilee. And this evening, a passageway in which was a receipt of customs where this fellow Matthew sat there at that gate. However, it was set up there to receive people into this major traffic way in which they would head down kind of southwest towards the Mediterranean Sea. And so if you can picture just above the area of Galilee, this area is kind of open. We have Damascus, people coming from Damascus, which is north and maybe just a little bit to the east of the Sea of Galilee, kind of northeast. And then Damascus, people coming down south and going into the area of the Mediterranean Sea. So you can look at your Bibles, maybe have some maps. We're not looking at our map tonight. But in the area, maybe towards Tyre, that is referred to in the scriptures. Anyway, somewhere there was this passageway that where Matthew was. Now, I think that it was probably much closer to the Sea of Galilee because that's where Jesus is at right now. So somewhere around this area, it's not very clear exactly where it is, there's this place where Matthew is at. So that's where we're at geographically. Kind of on the northern side of the Sea of Galilee, somewhere here where major traffic comes through on their way to trading, whatever the case is, going towards the Mediterranean Sea. All right, let's go ahead and look at the three passages. They're very parallel, very much the same thing. You'll notice just a little bit different perspectives from each man, but let's go ahead and read each one of these. Keep your fingers in each one, just in case we refer to one of those. Let's go to Matthew chapter 9, and let's start in verse 9. And we're going to go from 9 through verse 13, okay? And as Jesus passed forth from thence, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at the receipt of custom, and he saith unto him, Follow me. And he arose and followed him. And it came to pass, as Jesus sat at meat in the house, behold, many publicans and sinners came and sat down with him and his disciples. And when the Pharisees saw it, they said unto his disciples, Why eateth your master with publicans and sinners? When Jesus heard that, he said unto them, They that be whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. But go ye and learn what that meaneth. I will have mercy and not sacrifice, for I am not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Okay, study this for just a moment before we go to Mark. You know, you see here, of course, Matthew writing this refers to himself as Matthew. And he doesn't give too much about him, but Matthew is there sitting at the receipt of custom, okay? The receipt of custom. Again, a customs post. And some of you, you know, you go to another country, you go through customs. Not exactly saying it's the exact same thing as back then, but it is the seat of customs, a post on the caravan route, again, as I mentioned, from Damascus to the Mediterranean Sea. By the way, this position that Matthew held, as commonly referred to as a tax collector, but sitting at the receipt of customs, had a reputation to be known as kind of like a highway robber. You know, I mean, you know how we have some places set up that are there, and you can recognize that the only purpose that's set up is just to make money, you know, to rip people off as they go through. Okay, so that's the mentality that this man had as he is sitting at the seat of customs here. We'll talk a little bit more about that here in just a moment. Let's go. So we see he's sitting here, and of course Jesus comes to him and makes a two-word request: follow me. Does Matthew have any problems, it seems like? And he gets up and follows Jesus. It says, according to Matthew's rendition, it says, and he arose and followed him. Then it says that they went to a house. Now, from this passage, does it indicate whose house it was? From this passage? It doesn't, really. It just says, as indicated passage, Jesus sat at meat in the house. And then, of course, many publicans and sinners came and sat down with him and his disciples. So, just picture the scene that Matthew paints. Jesus picks up Matthew. He's already got a couple disciples with him. And he goes to this house and he sits down to eat. And it sounds like some publicans and sinners come to join him in his eating. There he is, okay? And we know then that as he is sitting there eating with these publicans and sinners, some of the Pharisees and scribes and Pharisees come. And it just says here, the Pharisees, other passages that will refer to the scribes, but it says the Pharisees saw it. They went to the disciples and say, why is your master with spending time with these publicans and sinners? And then what's Jesus' answer? You know, I spend time with these people because they're the ones, they need some help. Now, don't get the idea for a moment that he was saying that the Pharisees and scribes didn't need help, okay? They needed help. The problem is they didn't realize they needed help. The publicans and sinners, it was a plain and clear thing. You know, they were the lowly life of, according to the Pharisees and the scribes. Let's go ahead and go to Mark. Okay, so there you have what Matthew said. Mark chapter 2. Excuse me. Mark chapter 2. Mark's always just a little bit behind. Go to Mark chapter 2, and let's look starting in verse 13. We'll go from 13 to 17. It will be very clear to you, as I always mention, that these passages are parallel. Lest you think that they're a different story, I think it'll be very clear. Mark 2:13, and he went forth again by the seaside. Okay, so there we know that it's got to be somewhere close to the Sea of Galilee. And all the multitude resorted unto him, and he taught them. And as he passed by, he saw Levi, okay, this is going to give us a little bit more information, the son of Alphaeus, sitting at the receipt of custom. That's the same. And said unto him, follow me. That's the same. And he arose and followed him, okay? So Mark says the same thing. The only bit of information that he gives us here is, of course, right before that, there was a multitude with him. They sought him as he taught. And then, of course, we have Levi instead of Matthew. Levi, and he's the son of Alphaeus, okay? This is the same guy. Levi, the son of Alphaeus, and we have Matthew. There he is. Follow me, and he arose and followed him. Verse 15, and it came to pass that as Jesus sat at meat, oh, this is just a touch different, in his house. Who's that referring to? Don't answer yet, okay? It really isn't super clear, but Luke's going to tell us for sure. But we could say, you know what, is this Jesus' house? Well, probably not Jesus' house, but could it be Levi's house? Well, it could be Levi's house, but it's whoever he is. And it came to pass that as Jesus sat at meat in his house, many publicans and sinners sat also together with Jesus and his disciples, for there were many, and they followed him. When the scribes and the Pharisees saw him eat with publicans and sinners, they said unto the disciples, how is it that eateth and drinketh with publicans and sinners? When Jesus heard it, he saith unto them, They that are whole have no need of the physician, but they that are sick. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Keep in mind, I don't think that Jesus is referring to the scribes and the Pharisees as the righteous. I don't. I think he's just purely saying, the reason I go to these people is because they need help. Okay? So, there's Mark's. Let's go to Luke. Let's go to Luke chapter 5. I hope that you enjoy going back and forth to the different Gospels. I enjoy it myself because I like to see the whole story. What did I say? Luke 5. Let's go to Luke 5 later in the chapter where we find ourselves in verse 27. We're going to go 27 to 32. Excuse me. All right, Luke chapter 5, let's start in verse 27. And after these things, he went forth and saw a publican named Levi, okay, Levi, referred to Levi again, sitting at the receipt of customs, that's all the same, and he said unto him, follow me. And he left all, rose up and followed him. Virtually the same start. He calls him Levi. He says he's a publican sitting at the receipt of customs. And the same two words, follow me, right? Follow me. And it seems as though Matthew or Levi has the same response. He leaves everything. He's ready to give up all and follow Jesus. When we're really not going to look at Matthew's response, we really are looking at what happens in the next few verses. And Levi, oh, here's the answer, okay? Levi made him a great feast in his own house. Okay, so whose house is this? It's Matthew's. It's Levi's. It's his house. And Jesus isn't just walking around finding a spot. It appears as though, you know, Jesus calls Matthew and he says, follow me. And he said, I'll follow you. Why don't you come? I have a house not far away. Let's go to my house and I want to prepare for you a great feast. Okay? So Luke gives us a little bit more detail here about this setting in which Jesus stops to eat. He just doesn't find a public place. No, this is Matthew's house. And he invites him to come to this great feast in his own house. And there was a great company of publicans and others that sat down with them. But their scribes and Pharisees murmured against his disciples, saying, why do ye eat and drink with publicans and sinners? Now that response is just a little bit different. Okay, every time the scribes and the Pharisees talk to the disciples, right, and they say, and they're asking about the master. This time, they include his disciples with him. Okay, I'm not going to expound upon these and make applications with these little differences. You make your own and look at it, and maybe there'll be something in here that means something to you. Okay, I think everything has something for us, but there it is. He says to the group of them, why do ye eat and drink with publicans and sinners? And Jesus, of course, the leader of the group, answering, said unto them, they that are whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Okay, so there you have the three different accounts of this same story. Jesus sees Matthew, Levi, the son of Alphaeus, a Jewish tax official under Herod Antipas, a ruler of Galilee, sitting there at the receipt of customs. Again, I told you, a customs post in the caravan route from Damascus on its way to the Mediterranean Sea. Again, often involved in fraudulent practices. Therefore, the Jews despise these people. Okay, so already Matthew, as a tax collector, is referred to as a group of people that is not very well looked upon. Okay, certainly by the general populace of the Jewish community, but specifically by the scribes and the Pharisees. These are dirty people. What? You scoundrels that rip people off? That was Matthew, and that's the group of people that are involved with him. And Jesus calls Matthew to follow. He does. They both apparently go to Matthew's house, and Matthew throws a great feast, we see in Luke, and also invites a number of publicans. Obviously, it's his own house. I don't know the way it worked. If he just had an open arena in his house, come everybody to come to eat, or if Matthew personally handed out invitations. But here, Matthew obviously allows them to come in, and they're referred to publicans, sinners, and others. If you take all three combined, publicans, sinners, and others. Okay? The publicans, the tax collectors. So there's more than Matthew that is one of these people that sit at the receipt of customs. There's a group of these swindlers that are there. There's a group of these. Isn't it interesting that they're referred to as sinners? Okay? What's the fact of all mankind? We're all sinners. But the Pharisees don't look at it that way, right? No, this group of sinners, these were the dirty people. You know, they had a wrong perspective. I don't think that God has a wrong perspective put in his word. I think this is the kind of the perspective that these scribes and the Pharisees had, the sinners that were sitting there. So there's a group of swindlers, there's a group of just the common folk swindlers and others. And in my study, the sinners were just referred to as the untaught in the law, common folk. Those people that weren't as righteous as we are. Okay? That was who was sitting there eating. And Jesus seems to have no problem eating with these people. Now, let's stop here just for a moment. Is Jesus, you know, the people that Jesus is around, is there a little bit of a discrepancy with who Jesus is and his disciples? What do you think about that just for a minute? You know, these people, it was very true. We're not making this up that they were swindlers along this trade route. They were. Now, do you think Jesus would go for that? No, Jesus is not for people that are swindlers. Jesus has a problem with this. Now, again, the sinners, you know, were they sinners? Well, of course they were sinners, but the common folk, well, Jesus didn't have necessarily a problem with that. He wants all people to come to himself. But obviously, these people, in Jesus' response to the scribes and the Pharisees, what do we know about these people then? Who did they need? They needed Jesus. That means they were without him for the most part, right? So, you know, I can't tell you their attitudes. I can't tell you their, you know, their demeanors. I don't know exactly what kind of people they are. What we know is what we see. There was a group of people, again, under Herod Antipas that, you know, were they employed? Were they forced to do this? But they were known people that were used, that sat there in those booths, that collected that money, that was like, this is highway robbery. You know, for me just to use our land to go through here and get to the Mediterranean Sea. But that was what it was. And these people, because of their employment under Herod Antipas, they were looked down upon. You're one of those guys that works for Herod. We don't like, you know, you're no good. You're dirty. You're wicked. And look at all these sinners, these common folks that don't know the law. Boy, everybody that's righteous knows the law. And these wicked people that are sitting there. And then, you know, these others that were just there following Jesus. Now, Jesus has no problem sitting there eating. Can I ask you a question? If these people were not whole, isn't that what he says a couple times? They were not whole. What does he also refer to them as? Go ahead.
Sick.
Okay. And he came to call, Jesus calls them sinners to repentance, right? Okay. So, Jesus calls them sinners. You know, is he referring to the same kind of sinner, the common folk? I don't necessarily know that, but he calls them to, the sinners to repentance, okay? So I don't think that Jesus' terminology for these sinners is in the same way as these other Jewish leaders are referring to them as sinners, just common folk and breakers of the law. No, these people are sinners that need a Savior and they need to repent from their sins. Is that okay? You see the group? Okay. I paint a picture here because I want you to understand what's going on here. Jesus is not endorsing all that these people are doing. But he recognizes what? He recognizes a need. And if no one sits with these people, then they won't be reached. So Jesus is here, sitting at Matthew's house, eating in fellowship with these common folk, these lost sinners, for sure. Now it says that Matthew threw a great feast. I can tell you, because of who Jesus Christ was and who God is and his hatred for wickedness and his holiness separated from the world, I can tell you that this feast wasn't some big drunken orgy. I can tell you that. And you need to catch this, because this is going to be significant as we look at what Matthew is doing, or excuse me, what Jesus is doing in Matthew's house, and what the Pharisees are going to come back and say, and what we need to conclude in the whole matter of what do we do with sinners then? Jesus is not getting together with a bunch of other wine bibbers sitting there passing around, and he's just not partaking. I don't believe that's the feast at all. No, that sounds like they were sinners, but they're sitting around eating food. That's all we have here. We're going to talk about that here in just a moment. I don't think that it's a carousing, sinful partying that Jesus is doing. And certainly God is not calling us to do that. But this thing that Jesus was doing was obviously looked down upon by the Pharisees and the scribes. And what was their mentality? These people are sinners. These people have problems. These people are the lowly. These people don't know what we know. They don't know the law. They're not obedient to the law. They take advantage of people. They are, and of course, as soon as you look down on somebody like that, you're saying, what about yourself? We're good, right? We are the right ones. Jesus, you know what, honestly, the scribes and Pharisees are probably saying, why are you guys sitting with them when you should be sitting with us? Right? We are the ones, we are the religious ones, we are the right ones. You know, don't sit with them. They are lost. They are wicked. Don't spend your time with them. Do you know how many of us have this mentality sometimes? Now, I know that sitting here you say, boy, that's wrong, that was bad. But how many of us sometimes feel so out of place when we're with sinners? I tell you what, we have kids come here, you know, to Cola Clash, and some of us have no idea how to act because it's like, these people are bad. Did you hear the music that these kids came in listening to? Look at the clothes that they're wearing. Pastor, ought we really to have people like this on our property? What would Jesus' response be? Bring them in. Right? You know what? If we avoid these people, how are they ever going to reach? The sick need a physician. And Jesus had arrived. He had arrived to accomplish his mission. And these Pharisees are looking and said, you know, Jesus, we cannot have these people. What are they going to be wearing? What are they going to be doing? What have they touched before with those dirty fingers? We cannot have this. No, Jesus, why are you sitting with these dirty folks? And Jesus' response is, listen, if we don't ever spend time with them, they will never be saved. But I want to tell you something, friends. I don't think that we have that mentality of the scribes and the Pharisees so outwardly, but I tell you what, inwardly, we get really nervous when we're around people that are not like us. You know, I would say for the most part, I know you have different jobs and you're out there in the world some, but a lot of us kind of get inoculated right into our own little Christian bubble circles. And we kind of keep, and we don't understand all the things that they go. And by the way, I'm not saying that we've got to go dig deep into all their sin and find out what goes on in the world, really. You know, I don't know that that's wise. But we're not talking about that here. We're talking about Jesus eating with some common folk that were sinners. He was there. So this mentality that we sometimes have, and I don't even think we realize it, but maybe some of us, in a little bit different way, keeping to ourselves and certainly not going out of our way to reach people like this. You know, that person is different. You know, we stay away from that side of the town. I know that that's a little bit more of an older mentality, and we certainly don't have it here in our small towns. Might be true in some other cities, bigger places. But we don't go over there. We don't spend time over there because those people, they're rough. But that's not what Jesus said. He says, those people, he said, listen, I'll spend time with these people because they need something. They need something. What was Christ's mission here? Christ wasn't come to spend time with a bunch of other Christians. He didn't come to the church just to hang out with the Christians, although obviously he cared a lot about that because he wrote a lot about it in the New Testament. But his mission was to come and to see those dirty sinners saved. That's what he came for. He came on a mission to heal the sick, to call sinners to repentance. Folks, if we want to reach our Jerusalem, Mount Joy and Elizabeth Town, with the gospel, we're going to need to learn in a very discreet and above reproach way to rub shoulders with the lost. We really are. We're going to have to. It's not always the godly thing just to stay right here in our bubble and never, you know, I don't do that because there's sinners over there. Well, preacher, I don't do this because, boy, we've got to be separate from the world. That's not what Christ is talking about. And we see it very clearly here. He says, no, I'm not calling you to not eat with them. In fact, Christ sits down right there with them. And he allows them to come and join him and sit there. Why? Because he knew that their answer was himself. And see, that's the difference. That's the difference between us and just going and hanging out with our friends, you know, that are unsaved and doing the things they're doing. That is not the point here. And don't let the worldly philosophy that is made its way into the church, that it's okay then to partake of what the world is doing, to be all things to all men. I'll tell you, that is a misinterpretation of Scripture, and misapplication, to be all things to all men, to go out there and be what they are, to win them. You're not doing anything for Christ's cause when you go and partake in the same things, thinking that you're all things to all men so that you can gain them. That is not what Paul is saying. At all. But what is being said here is that we have to have some contact and this mentality that we're not any better than you. The only difference between me and you is I have found the light. Jesus came and he saved me, and I want to introduce this person to you. See, that's the goal. Jesus' goal with these people was not to entertain himself and have fun. His goal was that they were brought to himself, Jesus Christ. And there's the difference. So the people that we're supposed to be hanging out with, you know what? When I say hanging out, I don't think Jesus was hanging out. I think he was doing his ministry. We need to make sure that we have some avenues. Some of us here in this room, and I myself included, I mean, I am so caught up with my own family and my own ministry right here that I have so much to do in training and equipping you and studying and all of this and visiting. You know, it's very easy not to even hardly penetrate the world. Yeah, you go to the grocery store and you do this, you pick up something here and something there, but if we're not careful, we can very much be secluded in our own little Christian circle. Do you understand what I'm talking about? Very easy to do that. You know, and in one way you say, but isn't that what we're supposed to do? Well, for in the normal living, maybe so, but I'll tell you what, we cannot reach the world if we do that. We're going to have to get out there. And I'll tell you what, it's going to have to be very careful in how we do it. Because, again, I don't think that Jesus is telling us and he's endorsing that we need to get out and partake with the actions of the world. There's no way. There's no way that Jesus Christ wants us to do that, because he preaches against it all throughout his ministry. And then God continues on through the New Testament to tell us to flee youthful lust, to stay away from that sin and wickedness and preach against it. There's no way that Jesus is saying partake of that. Some things that we need to keep in mind with this mentality. You know what? When we're talking about rubbing shoulders with the lost, we're not talking about compromise. No compromise. And any time that our dealings with the world is going to bring out compromise, I think that we're wrong. We're wrong. We've got to stay away from that, because I'll tell you, you know, you can think that you're winning the lost, you know, right there in the middle of the bar, but I met a guy not long ago that told me that he had a main ministry in his community, and that was to go to the bar and drink coffee and to talk to those people. I want to tell you something. I disagree with that. I don't think we have any place in that, because nobody knows what's going on there, and they see the local, you know, preacher there doing that. You know what? I love the mentality of reaching the lost, but we're compromising when we do that. God does not want us to compromise truth by going into the places to do that. You never catch Jesus doing that. No, he was there eating a meal, and he let them come around and he talked to them. And he was a blessing to them. He gave himself. We've got to be careful not to compromise what's true and what we ought to do, and holiness and separation. God never endorsed that. We've got to keep away from sin. Listen, if there are things going around, you know, then we've got to, you know, I remember growing up in Wyoming, I didn't have a choice. I was working a job, and I couldn't wait to get out of that job. I don't think that would be a job that God would want me to partake in. But I remember sitting in between two guys. I was the nobody, and he had the main guy that was driving. They called him the pusher. This was the oil field, you know, kind of a rough place to work. But here's this guy. He was sitting there. I'm sitting in the middle, and we have this other guy on the left. And I remember driving home from work, and they would sit there and pass their beer can across me and to the next. I want to tell you, that wasn't a good environment to be in. And I praise the Lord that I was able to be delivered out of that environment right away. But there's a difference between sitting there in a job and putting yourself there and say, hey, I'm going to hang out while these guys are carousing, doing their things, and try to witness to them. No, I think we need to be very careful that we're hanging out with people that are involved in sin right there. What's the testimony going to be? We got to think about that. What's the testimony as I'm at this place? You know what you say? Well, preacher, I'm not doing this. I'm not there. But I want to tell you something. How do people know what you're doing? We're in an environment that is so worldly. And I think that you ought to, and I'm not going to give you any specific places. I'm going to let you do that and let the Holy Spirit burden you. But we need to start thinking about the things that we do and the places that we go, that when we go there, what is the message to the world in what we're doing? Now, you can say that you're going there to evangelize, but let's get real. What are we really doing? But if we go to places that are compromising what we stand against and Jesus taught against doing, that Jesus Christ went to the cross and died for, I'll tell you, I think we're in the wrong spot. But we don't have to go to these big gatherings where masses of people go and listen to their music and drink their booze and do all the stuff that they do. I don't think we have to go there to find sinners. What do you think? There's plenty of sinners on the street. There's plenty of sinners walking about doing business in everyday life that we can reach the world without going to the world itself. Does that make sense? We got to be very careful with that. No compromising, no sin. Staying above reproach. 1 Thessalonians 5:22 says, abstain from all appearances of evil. No, there is no. And I don't think Jesus is saying that at all. Keeping a good testimony. But on the other side, though, listen, if we do not spend any time with a lost person, we will be unsuccessful in accomplishing Christ's mission to us. He said, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. He did. That means we need to be on the lookout for people that need the gospel. People that may look different than you, may act different than you, might be scary people to look at and to see. I'll tell you, they need Jesus Christ. We need to be willing to open our mouths and give the gospel. We need to find godly ways in which to spend time with the lost. That's how I put it. And I spent a little time thinking about that phrase. We need to spend or find godly ways which Jesus Christ would endorse to get into the hearts and lives of these people. Find an activity to do. You know, having people over for a meal. That's what Jesus was doing right here. Eating with some people in an uncompromising way. Don't go to their places to eat. You know, take them to your place. Or find a medium that is in a godly environment that they're not looking at you. I want to tell you something. They'll know when you take them to this place and say, what is he doing here? That's not for a Christian. This is not for a Christian. They know more than what you think. People that are ungodly know a place that a Christian should and should not be. And so why would we take them there? Just to, you know, we get this mentality in our minds that I'm going to do this so that I kind of bridge the gap a little bit. No, that is not what Christ wants us to do. No. But we can sit and eat meals with them, have cookouts. You know what? What a wonderful opportunity. Bring them into your territory and ask them to come and do that. You can't do that with everybody. Find people that have common interests that are not something that is compromising. Find ways to get into people's lives. And I'm just kind of totally provoking you to begin thinking. I don't have a big long list that I'm going to give you, but I would encourage you to start thinking, even tonight, of ways. You know, you might sit here and say, you know what, Pastor, I honestly don't have much of any inroad with the lost. To be very honest, I look at my family, my children. You know what? Very rarely in the world. We are kind of secluded over there in the country. We have our own little world to live in over there. And then, of course, the only really time they leave for that is when they're going to a Bible club or another, you know, one of your homes or church function. And we can say whether that's right or wrong, you should get them involved in this and that, and that's really not the point. The point is, though, is that we're going to have to find some ways. You know, if I want my children to start to share the gospel with other people, I tell you what, there's going to have to be some ways in which they're seeing some other people, right? We're going to have to find ways, but we've got to be careful. See, I'm presenting two sides of something that I want you to be careful of. We've got to find ways to get to the world, but we've got to be very careful not to compromise our testimony as we do it. That's what Jesus does here. And I'll tell you what, the religious people nailed him down. They said, listen, look at what you're doing. And Jesus comes with a very gentle, but very clear and strong answer. And he gives his mission. I came to this earth to heal sinners. And we're going to be looking at this in a couple weeks because Christ came for a mission. I'm going to give you an outline. We're going to look at some things in the overhead. But I'll tell you, Christ came to this and he came to complete his mission. And looking ahead, and we're going to go through this, looking ahead, he came to transfer his mission to us so that we can do his mission because he's not here anymore. So if Christ's mission is come to seek and to save sinners, then what's our mission got to be? Exact same. And so therefore, we've got to find ways to get to the lost. I believe that if we just be faithful in our own little bubble, we lose, and we fail Christ's mission. That is not what he did. That is not what we ought to do. Don't compromise in the way you do it, though. Don't compromise. Father, would you help us? Would you help us to see the need in our world? Lord, we need to see people that need you. And we need to find ways in order to engage them and to befriend them and to show them that we care about them. What a task. But Lord, help us to do it in a very godly way. That we can truly be about that evangelism and not just an excuse to spend time with the world and do the things that they do and fit in with them. So many Christians today are compromising in that manner. Lord, help us to stay pure and holy because people are looking to see a difference. No doubt if Jesus would have partaken in some of the wicked things that they did, there would not have been anybody lost. Of course, Jesus wouldn't do that. We ought not do it either. Father, help us. Lord, both sides of these things. Lord, help us to fulfill and carry out your mission in which you came to seek and to save those people which are lost. Lord, help us. Lord, please help us. Lord, would you send souls our way? Would you help us to find souls? Would you burden us with souls that we need to share? Lord, even this week, God, would you help us to think through ways that we can engage people, maybe at stores or in business or neighbors or there's plenty of people out there. Lord, help us. Help us to be like Christ and follow in his footsteps in engaging the lost. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.